Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And welcome to Get the Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestling culture. As I say, joined by Michael Hamflett, though. And sir, we are gathered here. We are socially distanced here today to talk about John Cena returning to WWE. Very exciting, this.
Yeah, it is. Cena has wisely, I would suggest, stayed away from the product since losing the Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania. It's helped sell the significance of that defeat. This is at WrestleMania 36, of course, a year and a half ago. And when you don't need to, why would you wrestle in the likes of the Thunderdome rather than big full arenas, or even in the case of WrestleMania 37, like a half full football stadium? Why not really make yourself part of the furniture in what will be an era that I imagine WWE will want people to forget most of almost as soon as it's concluded. There will be, of course, some fond memories isolated to like very specific feuds or wrestlers. But for the most part, they'll be looking to pick right up from about February 2020 as soon as they possibly can and just pretend there's like one scene missing that accounts for well over a year.
Michael Rappaport going, the WWE Performance Center sucked and we put a lot of screens in and it didn't suck no more.
Something happened and they really sucked, but then a bunch of people got some needles in their arms and it didn't suck no more. he will at least... Cena, other than like a fabulous near career saving performance alongside Bray Wyatt, has made no more memories in this era. So it's, if anything, he will probably be one of the people that is associated with the return of the normal.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice spot to be in. He might have played an absolute blinder here.
According to the latest reports that we read over the weekend, Wrestling Observer, in fact, reporting Cena could be back on WWE in time for the 16th of July edition of SmackDown. And that date will ring true in your mind because it's the first televised WWE show with a crowd or you know, properly planned out with a crowd in Texas. It's the Friday ahead of Money in the Bank weekend. And we'll talk about Cena's potential involvement in that very soon. But yeah, it does feel like an open goal that if you are going to bring John Cena back, you bring him back when fans are first back and, well, blow the roof off the place.
Yeah, the whole idea of this SmackDown as well. We know that obviously now SmackDown is the current flagship for all Raws, the legacy show. SmackDown's where most of the money's made. Fox are the people that need to be pleased the most. So you would think that they would love that too. The marketing campaign WWE could build around whatever they were going to brand it. They'll call it something, but this return. You know, that's what it'll be. It's like everything's going back to normal night, finally. I wouldn't expect it to just be John Cena. I would expect them to do what they normally do in these situations and load it up with the names. Cena will be different than, I don't know, your Hogan's or whoever, because it feels likely that he'll be involved in something or he'll want to get a little bit physical with somebody as a way to tease something else, perhaps. Yeah, I would well anticipate that July show to be loaded with legends, to be almost like themed around the fact that this is a big comeback. WWE have saved the world again. And the number will be a monster, so Fox will be happy with it. And it might provide SmackDown at least, probably not Raw, but SmackDown at least, with like some nice momentum going into the summer as well, knowing that there are more. This is not just a WrestleMania, then see you back at the Thunderdome. This is crowds here, crowds next week too. You can actually start thinking about the like more than just this one novelty show.
Yeah, I mean, it's just worryingly lending more credence to the optimistic side of my brain that goes, maybe WWE will change and be mint after crowds return. They're going to come back on that Friday SmackDown. We've got Money in the Bank on the Sunday and the Raw afterwards, all taking place in Texas, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I can very easily see WWE's advertising campaign. WWE Universe, we can't wait to see you back at the shows. But what about the guy you can't see? Well, John Cena's going to be there and you're going to be able to see him, I promise. So do you think this is, I want to talk more about potentially who we could interact with on that SmackDown and fantasy booking that, and maybe even involvement in Money in the Bank. But before we get to all that, do you think this could be a return to maybe not necessarily full-time wrestling, but, you know, seeing him in a ring more regularly than we have been?
Maybe. You know, everything we're going to talk about on podcasts like these is just speculation without knowing the schedule of John Cena outside of wrestling. But to my mind, if you're able to juggle various professions as John Cena does, as a actor in films, as a television presenter now, as a kind of like commercial voiceovers and all the other things he's managed to do away from wrestling. Author, of course. It strikes me that he would have, if he wants to do more, he'll have just built in time to do it. He won't be coming back to be this full-time wrestler. I'll see you out on the road, blah, blah, blah. But I could well see him diarying in 3 or 4 months, let's say. So if you think, the example I would point to would be ultimately it was the run to WrestleMania where he fought The Undertaker. But that run where he came back for what felt like ultimately just to try and destroy anybody's hopes of AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Mm. He'd worked a Survivor Series on Team SmackDown as if he ever wears red or blue when there's neon shirts to be wearing. And then he said, oh, I'll be in the Royal Rumble while I'm here. And then didn't win that. And then just had like all these great matches, had that quality like match. I think it was like the February pay-per-view where it was his last chance to try and win the belt, that sort of thing. And he was like, all right, I've got now what else to do? How about an Undertaker? Let's do that. And then we got the Undertaker match and then he was tombstoned and he disappeared again for a bit. That was, nobody was sort of viewing that as John Cena is back as a full-timer. Mm. But it felt like he was there to kind of see something through. It felt like it wasn't, oh, just thanks for coming to Legends Night, see you again in 8 months. I could well see John Cena looking at this as a chance to, as we say, like in front of crowds, and if WWE are probably wanting to pay quite a lot for him to be a draw for those shows, they'll want to sell all of these events out. Mm-hmm. They'll desperately want to do that. Cena is a proven draw at the box office still. Maybe it'll just be like the terms of an agreement. Maybe it'll just be, I'm going to come back in July for SmackDown. I'll probably be out of your hair after SummerSlam, but we can have a lot of fun in that time. I can get some guys over. I could work that one major program for SummerSlam or whatever it is. That seems to me to be the smart way to use a guy like Cena anyway, because if he gets an injury now, or if he gets a knock, it's going to be exactly like what happened when The Rock got an injury. That kind of like cold reminder of, oh yeah, this can actually happen when I do this. Mm. And now my filming schedule has been knocked back. Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. And we kind of got The Rock, and then we lost him again. And I just sort of think, like, John Cena at this point in his career probably won't want to be returning to do a thing for fun that then results in other work being ruined by something daft. Oh, I've torn my hamstring, so I can't film Wipeout. It's probably, you know, like, wrestling maybe, like, to that extreme probably isn't in his best interest at this point.
Yeah, intriguing. It's just, what, mid-July? You'd assume sometimes around sort of late August time. Because it's a nice little, you know, 6 week run or whatever it may be. And we've got some fantasy booking we will get to in due course. Before we get on to, what he could do or who he could work with or anything like that, any chance this impacts or involves Bray Wyatt whatsoever? I know Cena's talked about it in his, interviews talking about returning to WWE.
I don't know. It's Bray Wyatt. Like, John Cena coming back and no selling what happened to him at Firefly Funhouse wouldn't even make a list of 10 things that have buried the Bray Wyatt character. There has been so many. So I don't think, you know, it's like if the Firefly Funhouse, when it looked like a perfect recovery, turned out to actually be a perfect recovery, and he'd since gone on and had this amazing, the Fiend had had this incredible year ever since, and it was like John Cena was the big turning point for the character, then I think you'd have to tread carefully with it and you'd have to show respect to what happened that night. Instead, you can probably do it as a one-off thing. And maybe every now and then, if Cena can be asked, or if like there's enough like criticism towards, you're not selling that thing, maybe Cena can appear a little bit weaker and maybe he has to get his mojo back or something like that, because he doesn't know if he's still got it, because Bray Wyatt took him to places and the Fiend changes people and blah, blah, blah. But like, they can just do that sort of, the Fiend changes people, but not loads. He's still all right. Like, definitely changed. He's lost a step. Is it because he's like in his 40s now and he's done this for 20 years, or is it because of the Fiend? Well, I'll let you decide. But like, they could tiptoe near it without it. I don't think at this point it damages anything about the legacy of that match if Cena kind of comes back. You know, it's not like the old days where he could lose a pay-per-view main event and lose his title and then come out and roar and grin 24 hours later. It's been like 16 months. Like, that's a, maybe, I don't know how like Fiend mechanics work. Maybe that's a reasonable recovery time from like losing to a Sister Abigail in an alternate like universe in a different dimension.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
So we mentioned he's returning the Friday ahead of Money in the Bank. Could he, like, is always, WWE does that, we're all we moan about it. He does have this tendency of like, right, we'll try now. And then they give you like all the best things all in one go. There's a strong part of me that thinks that even though I sincerely doubt they're going to struggle to A, sell out Money in the Bank, and B, get an audience for Money in the Bank. Because it's A, it's Money in the Bank, and B, it's Money in the Bank with crowds, which we haven't had, like you say, since WrestleMania, and that's bloody WrestleMania. But there is a bit of me that thinks he comes out and goes, wow, it's great to be back in WWE, and I'll be in the Money in the Bank ladder match on Sunday. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I really like it. The more I thought about, like, before we sat down and did this podcast and I was sort of thinking about potential opponents and stuff like that, I think that's a perfect way to reintroduce him, is to put him in the Money in the Bank match, because it's not a match he needs to win. It's a match that several newer faces that have never really interacted with John Cena could do so without you having to give away a big singles match. So let's just say that, like, if it's a six-man match and Cena's part of that, theoretically, all five other men could be people that he's never properly faced before. Mm-hmm. And yet you're not giving away a singles match with any of them. You're instead just getting so-and-so interacts with Cena, so-and-so interacts with Cena. They would probably do the bit where Cena enters last and then the five of them try and team up on him at the start of the match. You know, mm-hmm. to try and get him out of it because they see him as a threat. He's perceived as one still. I really like it. I think it like sets up a potential feud for him coming off the back of that pay-per-view. It even sets up something nice for that night, because we've talked about the various ways before. I think this might have been a Sidgwick pitch, and I'm going back to like the darkest days of the pandemic, like sort of March, April 2020, when we were all coming to the realization that just crowds coming back was going to be a long, long time away. So like you weren't necessarily just going to get this magic wand fix. And we've had WrestleMania, so we have had crowds coming back. This is not going to be like the first, but as you've said, WWE can market that a different way. Baron Corbin or a similar like irritant heel being the one to get that first reaction and then say, oh, and by the way, I know that you're here for, you've come here, you know, finally come back to these arenas. You only come back to see me. Well, let me tell you, you can't see me or something like that because I'm going to go away again. And then that's this line trick is out John Cena. And he FUs him through 48 tables and then Baron Corbin's out of money in the bank. And Cena drops right in because Sonya Deville thinks it's like, you know, it's smart business move or something like that. And then just getting that way. Sami Zayn even could say like, you know, I think it's a conspiracy that I've not been included in the Money in the Bank on Sunday. And then John Cena interrupts him. And then as he's walking up the steps, he mocks his pose like that time when Sami Zayn separated his shoulder, doing it to John Cena. Now I'm answering your open challenge like you answered mine and all that. And like, there's good heels. He can like actually adjustment some heels through 48 tables as a way to get into that match. I really, really like the idea of John Cena versus six of your favourites and none of them. And you're giving away zero matches in doing so.
Well, you talk about good heels as the greatest heel in WWE right now on SmackDown. And I think if he's coming back, as much as I've sat here and gone, oh, maybe it's Edge. Maybe you do Edge. Maybe you do the Big E world title match at SummerSlam. I think, I mean, WWE aren't struggling now. They're still releasing people. But I think you could have a gold-plated Thunderdome if you do Roman Reigns versus John Cena at SummerSlam. And, Michael Hampler, I think I've even got the way you get there. I love the idea. First of all, first and foremost, just to cover off what we talked about there, absolutely, have him interact with, you know, this is very going to sound very dismissive of them, but a lower card heel, whether it be, you know, Baron Corbin or Sami Zayn, or Apollo Crews, but it won't be Apollo Crews, but, you know, or Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, because that's just easy stuff of, well, we can have Cena and we can have him in a tag match just to ease him back into it with Dominic Mysterio, although I think by our booking, oh, no, actually, he turns heel on Sunday, doesn't he? So Dominic would be all right to, what? Oh, my God, what if he comes back and Cena tags with Ray and Dominic's just on the outside going, you what? What's this?
Well, Wilborn, I must cut in here because what would one of our podcasts be if we weren't talking about our favourite storyline? Over the weekend, it was brought to my attention by one of like our listeners on Twitter that could Roman Reigns just once have been having the conversation with Dominic in terms of who exactly poisons his mind? Mm-hmm. Just like he had that conversation with Apollo Crews and just like he had interactions with Jey Uso and is now having them with Jimmy Uso, could Roman Reigns be the one to get to Dominic before the turn, just that one time. And then just make him realize that, just think about who your family really are, Dominic. Sometimes it's not your father, but maybe a father figure. We'll see you later. And that could be it. That could be the moment. So bye. Good book, go on.
Just thought, what if Dominic, like we always talk about this, I realize we've gone on a complete tangent here, but we always talk about the fact that just make your heels have just a semblance of sense in their justification for why they did it. What if Dominic's maybe not injured, but Dominic, he's not there. Something's happened, or he's just, you know, he's not going to wrestle. And Rey's tagging with Cena. That would be Rey Mysterio tagging with the man who took the WWE Championship off him after an hour. Is it?
Yeah, the minutes now. It's fine. It's all right. It's okay.
But that's the point. Is he's like, what are you doing, Dad? Why are you tagging with him? He's a knobhead. Anyway, disregarding all that, let's have some fun with some heels on SmackDown, obviously. Or just an AA or an FU, whatever you want to call it. Blah, blah, blah. Sunday rolls around, like you say. He's in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I think it's just an open goal. And you can, you know, have him be jumped beforehand if you want to just, you know, protect him and not have him do too much. And fans will understand. Anyway, we're late in the match. And oh my God, as much as I'll be like, oh, don't actually let him win it. But okay, John Cena is climbing that ladder. Everyone else is down. Your Big E's, your, I don't know, Aleister Blacks, I should probably book someone from Raw, Keith Lee, they're all laid out. John Cena, he's got an open goal. He's got a clear route to the title. And he's there. He's got his hand on the briefcase. Whoa! The ladder falls over. He's tipped off the ladder by Jey Uso because Roman Reigns does not want John Cena hanging around with an automatic title cash in. And then, ladies and gentlemen, it is off to the races. Roman Reigns, John Cena, SummerSlam. And guess what? Copy paste what Brock Lesnar did to John Cena, because he can piss off back to doing Fast and Furious or whatever he wants to do. I love you, John, but off you go, pal, because the head of the table's here and he's brought ground and pound, or pound and ground, if you might.
I love it. I absolutely love it. John Cena and Roman Reigns, like, feels cliche to say it, but it's a WrestleMania main event. If they want to deliver that at SummerSlam instead, this version of it more than ever, because the original attempt to get Roman Reigns over as the next guy, like, to, like, present him as a made man by virtue of beating John Cena at what I believe was No Mercy 2017. Mm-hmm. But you remember the one that was set up with those worksheet promos that were just terrible. the match wasn't even that good. That passing of the torch was so transparent that the torch went out before he managed to hand it over. Mm-hmm. The match just simply wasn't memorable enough. Nobody came away from that thinking, oh well, now you've done that, now I'll buy Roman Reigns as a chop baby face. It just didn't land. This would be totally different. In much the same way that the way that Roman went over Edge and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and everybody, myself included, were looking at finishes that involved Roman losing the title without him actually being pinned, or people that were being put in triple threat matches because somebody needed to be protected. You stacked them both up and pinned them. Like, that was as big a sort of mark of his dominance and the commitment from WWE to remind us all, no, this is not just like, this is not just that guy that you didn't like a few years ago. This is our guy, and he will be for like as long as we want. He is now finally in the position where people will buy that Cena victory is meaningful. Like, if he, as you say, Brock Lesnar's John Cena at SummerSlam, it will register in a way that any attempt at doing that several years earlier wouldn't have done. I love John Cena versus Roman Reigns. My gut tells me that they would save it for WrestleMania. However, they're going to want to shift whatever it is, 15 to 20,000 tickets to SummerSlam. There's going to be a certain vanity about the bookings of these first shows and about the need to sell them out. The public are not, it is not what we once thought, where everybody is going to race back out to wrestling shows. AEW have not, think about all the sellouts AEW always used to get, and they've not yet shifted every seat in Daly's Place for Double or Nothing. There's a thirst, but it comes with certain risks or worries, or people just aren't yet sort of like certain they want to leave the house, even in Florida. WWE are going to want as best as they can to try and sell these shows out. You've just come up with the biggest box office main event they have in the whole company. So why would they not potentially book that for SummerSlam?
And I know, you know, you and I sit here on a weekly basis and say, oh, this is great. This is WrestleMania. They save this to WrestleMania. But we know nowadays that doesn't happen. Mm. Sasha Banks and Bayley, perfect example. We were fantasy booking it in like May, going, well, next WrestleMania, they can save it and do this. They don't do that anymore. However, WWE fans' brains are trained to think, well, if they're doing that now, what have they got? And if you pull the trigger on Cena versus Roman, you know, not to be too hyperbolic, but you probably, aside from, you know, what would be a really nice organic build of like Big E wins the Royal Rumble and we just do what we were hoping. If not that, your fans go, well, it's either The Rock or it's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's bonkers, but it's like the springboard of John Cena being utilized at SummerSlam. And even though that may well just be the case that they've only got him for these 6 weeks or whatever, and then he's off to write more books or do his role in the Suicide Squad does genuinely look really good, to be fair, his acting career. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. We were talking about the fact that, you know, we've been out and gone for drinks with friends and stuff recently. It does feel like there's a huge light at the end of the tunnel, and John Cena returning to WWE, whether you were a fan of him back in the day or not, like, him coming back sort of does signal, Pamphlet, that we're nearly there and things are almost back to normal. And he'll probably that may mean the only thing that would make it better is if he just beat Aleister Black in 5 minutes. And then it was like, oh, back to the old normal. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that'd be a real shock to the system, wouldn't it? Is that everybody genuinely thinks, oh yeah, this, you're right, that sense of optimism that comes with that, like, And then you're reminded what that used to sound like when you'd just seen your favourite wrestler get absolutely flattened and had the like had the finisher no-sold or something back in 2011. Yeah, could go both ways. It's exciting on the surface. It's very exciting on the surface.
I've done it again. We've done it again. Fantasy book something if it doesn't happen. I mean, I'll be less annoyed if this doesn't happen than if Dominic Sierra doesn't elect to trade his dad on the round but Money in the Bank on Father's Day. But yeah. Just keep, honestly, mate, we've got the $1 million championship coming to NXT. So if we just keep speaking about it, we'll will it into existence.
You're right. That's how these things work, isn't it? Well, then I should have gone more obvious to begin with. Slapjack. It's out there now. It's out there. You can't see me. Why? Because I've got a paper plate on my face.
Like, there's someone on this show that I've got a bit of history with. He's got one name and we haven't seen him for a while. Slapjack. Oh, brilliant stuff. Well, let us know your thoughts and fantasy booking of John Cena returning to WWE on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.